top of anything is the top 1 or 2%.
Yeah.
Whether you're an athlete, whether you're in corporate America, whether you're in, you know, business, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
And you'll have to fight your ass off regardless of the industry that you're in, regardless of whatever it is that you're doing in order to get there. The question is there an opportunity to get there? And are you willing to make the sacrifices along the way?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from, where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. As always, you've got myself, you've got Trev Dogs.
Yep.
All right. And then we got some special guests in town to visit us. And we have the lovely treat of Amber El-Rafai. Say it for us.
El-Rafai. I don't think I even pronounce it right because I don't have that Middle Eastern R.
El-Rafai.
Yes.
I want to do this when I say it to El-Rafai.
I ain't Italian. You know?
Yeah. I know, but it still makes me, you know, like I told you I wasn't that educated.
Oh my gosh.
Let me mess this up how I mess it up. Let me do it the way
El-Rafai.
I do it.
The social savvy mama. It's a little easier.
Yeah.
That's social savvy mama.
My husband hates that name, but I can't get rid of it.
We'll put it in the show notes so people can check you out. And you know, she's such a treat, and we've had the treat of doing some business with these guys for the last little while with our content game, our editing game, and they just have an amazing business. And so we wanted to have them on the show, and her awesome husband, AK, he's going to join us for another show another time. But today we have Amber, and I can't wait for them to hear your story. We've spent several hours with these guys already, and they just both have amazing stories.
Yeah. When we say these guys, but then it's Amber.
Yeah.
AK's over there in the corner behind the scenes.
Shooting some B-roll.
Yeah, doing what he does, you know.
We'll be editing this podcast.
Telling us to sit up straight and trying to make us look good. Hey, do a good job over there. We had an opportunity to speak with you guys this morning, and your guys' story's inspirational, period.
Yep.
You know, like, you guys are the definition of entrepreneurship, you know, starting where you guys have started, built what you guys have built, the connection that Kel's made with you guys. I mean, you know, he's only spoke highly, you know, many times over. And I'm just like, okay, who are these people?
need to meet them.
Yeah, I need to meet them. So we appreciate you guys coming up and taking time out of your day away from the kids to join us and being on the show. So if you will, tell us first off where you're from.
Yes, you know? It's an absolute honor to be on here. Yeah. So thank you for inviting us up to the beautiful Utah. And we did a little road trip from Vegas to get here and all those things.
I won some money, ate some good food, and decided to come see us.
Got the hell out of Vegas, yeah. We are, my husband's Middle Eastern, but we're originally from Canada. And we moved up here in Orange County just over 2 years ago, you know, trying to follow that American dream. And we've been, you know, lucky and blessed to be here. And
COVID implants.
Yes.
Bounced out of Canada.
The border shut
down. During COVID, you're like, I'm not going back.
We got out of there.
Back,
you know? Yes, we did have a lot of a bumpy, you know, bumpy road during the whole time to get us here.
Yeah.
We were kind of going through a process of being transferred with his job. And right at that time, they had shut the borders down and they weren't allowing anybody to leave. And we had just rented out our home, got into an Airbnb. It was supposed to be for, you know, a week or 10 days while we were packing our stuff up.
Yeah.
And that week, 10 days turned into about 7 weeks with two kids and a one bedroom. The baby was sleeping in a closet. And, you know, we just packed up and said, you know what, we need to make it to Montana and see if they'll let us through. We had all our visas in place and everything. And we just felt like, wow, we won the lottery, you know, to go through. Mm. At that time, we're the only people on the road. We drove through. You couldn't pull over for a bathroom, nothing, right? You had to just order your food in the parking lot and wait for somebody to come out and get it for you.
It's like one of those end of the world shows where you're going down the road.
Super
and you're
creepy.
The only one. You're like, oh my
like
God,
a
where,
movie.
Where is other human beings?
The only people on the like, road from
either
Alberta.
We're doing something really smart, or we're the only dumb ones out here trying to be on the road.
Everybody
you know?
Thought we were crazy, you know? Yeah. And I remember getting into Newport. We were in corporate housing for a while, and you know, we had no idea where we are, but we were down in Newport with this private beach in front of us, and we just thought,
Living the dream,
but no idea because everybody was just at home and weren't allowed to leave. And You know, so we made it out there. We, you know, we're now growing and scaling to a seven-figure business with our social media agencies. So yeah. It didn't start out there. And I think that's kind of the story with most network marketers or entrepreneurs, you know, that they do have a bumpy road. I got into corporate finance. That was, you know, my field, you know, go to university, get your degree, get into the bank, you know, you got to work the bank. And I was doing that for quite a while. We're struggling to get pregnant. Took us about 5 years and we ended up.
So you were working at the corporate bank about what year? Like what year was of this stuff? Like, so we can give some context.
That was in the last, you know, 10 years. I spent about 8 years in corporate finance. I was laid off twice in 1 year. That was back in 2014, 2015. Okay. Right around that time, we had my son in 2016. It took us 5 years. So between that, you know, 2011, 2016, trying to get pregnant, super stressful. We end up
lots of practice.
Yeah, lots of practice. You know, try to go.
Hell yeah, AK. Good for you, bro.
You try to time trips. You know, like around all that stuff. So we did Thailand. We're like, it'd be so romantic. You know, we'll definitely get knocked up then. But, you know, it never happened.
Setting didn't matter.
Setting didn't matter.
He was just trying to do jet setting.
Didn't matter.
Hey, I think the beach will make it happen.
The sunsets, all of that stuff. No, it didn't happen. And finally it did. And we have a little bit of a story with that too, because we always say we get a 2-for-1 deal. You know, we did IVF, cost about 20 grand, but we were left with 2 embryos and we froze one. And that gave us our daughter 3 years later.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to pay that full round again. Right.
Yeah.
But, and then we were in that, you know, position of, I was in my pregnancy bubble, had my baby, and, my sister at the time had joined a network marketing company.
Yeah.
So, and I think at anybody who has joined a network marketing, you know, an MLM, they don't really go out and look for it or research. They usually kind of get thrown into the mix, you know,
Know, usually it's like, hey, do you want a free, hey, let's go to lunch. I haven't seen you forever.
And have some shampoo. Like,
yeah, let's go to lunch. And then you're sitting in a room with a lunch over there on the side, and then you're being presented with something, and then
you're like
knocking your friend's shoulder, like, what
the hell
is
did you bring
this?
Me to?
It's like, just shut up and listen.
And you get all the momentum and you hear all the success stories, right? And then you're crying and you want to be part of it and all that stuff. She tried to do that with me for months. She was with the company, a hair care company that launched in Canada at the time. And I just thought, I am not selling shampoo. That's not what I'm going to, you know, going to do. I'm going to have my baby.
You were
going to
work at the bank.
I work in the bank.
Yeah, you were going to get a real corporate job, you know?
I am corporate.
Now you got the baby and it's just like, where are you trying to drag me into?
What am I going to do?
Were you fed up with the bank and all that at this time? Were you like, something could be better?
You know, I actually really loved, you know, what I did, and I was working with some really top executives in that industry. I was laid off twice within a year in 2 different firms.
Yeah.
I mean, they do give you some, you know, good payouts and things like that, but it got stressful then.
Yeah.
And then I think it was more of that anxiety kicking in to know you're going back to work. Now you're going to go put, you know, your little one in daycare, childcare full time. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. Like that's all I want to do is just be a mom. And, you know, you never realize that now when you're an entrepreneur and a mom. I'm like, I need a full-time nanny and a housekeeper and everything else too. You know, please take my kids. But so I thought of all of that. And I also didn't really think, you know, you're going to make 6 figures or beyond doing what you're doing. But I kind of watched her on the sidelines, you know, and she got a $10,000 check one time. I thought, well, you know, that's some cash, right?
Yeah.
But she got the car and you never really think of somebody of, you know, oh, they got the car, and you said about dangling the carrot or whatever.
Yeah, that's a, they're like, oh, you get this car, and it's like, oh, I want the car.
You know, you do whatever it is to get the car,
and it's like
right?
almost like the, you know, it's like talking about Bigfoot, you know? It's like, you hear about it, but you never really see it, you know, or a unicorn.
The unicorn.
They talk about it, but you've never seen it. So to you, it's not even real.
No.
Right? No, and then when you start seeing a $10,000 check and you see one of your loved ones, your sister, starting to have these things unfold for her, it's like in some cases, this is what I love about the story, because like there is a true ripple effect with individuals that actually set their own life on fire and follow their own path. Is when they do all the right things for themselves and impact their own life, everybody in their ecosystem then gets impacted as well, is because you're showing them what's possible.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it became real to you because it was just up in your face. It was up close and personal. And you're like, okay, there is something here. Yeah. There's some meat on the bone. It's not just somebody just talking. Yeah, fake unicorn thing over there. This is possible.
I remember her showing AK her bank account one day, and it was, I think it was almost 40K. I was like, well, you got some cash in there. She said that was for 1 month. And I looked at my husband. I was like, 1 month, 40K. She's, you know, working this business. I said, if she can do it, she was a social worker. And then she moved back home and bought a franchise. She's, you know, going to sell burritos forever. And, you know, that was a fail too, right? And even her marriage was, you know, on the line, on the rocks, because her husband wasn't supportive of what she was doing. Her face was in her phone with two little ones. Yeah. And, you know, and but she was going for it. And I said, if she can do it, I can do this. Give me a chance at this. We had already been in such a deep hole. And I remember... Zayden was...
What's the worst case scenario when you're already down that low?
Yeah, we already accumulated so much debt. We bought some multifamily properties. We had good debt too, but you know, still you have to have a down payment for that. We had the IVF. I remember he was in the light up at the coffee shop one day with Zayden, and Zayden was, you know, maybe almost two, and the card got declined, you know, for coffee. And I mean, his face just turned like blood red. Like he just wanted to like literally, you know, put a hole through a window. And the guy behind said, you know, don't worry, you know, I got you. But he says, I got you and your family. And it just kind of just tore something into him. He looked at me, he said, nobody will ever get you and your family besides me. We're going to, you know, make a change here. And
I probably would have said, where do you live? We're moving in then. Free rent, asshole. Like, what do you mean you got me and my family,
right?
Here's the fucking car payment. Like, fuck you. Here's the house payment. You got us?
Like, yeah, seriously. Okay. He was like, so mad. He was so irritated. I'm like, that guy meant well. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was just so irritated by the whole thing. And he does have this very, like, obsessive personality that it's, like, all or nothing. I'm going all in with something, whether it's good, you know, bad. And that's just where he was like, you know what? Your sister's doing this. And there's no reason why you can't be doing this, too. Within 4 months, I mean, he went crazy. He was Ty Lopez training, Russell Brunson. He was like figuring it out when it came to sales, marketing, all of those things. And he is a nerd. I mean, he's got an engineering background and computer science and all those things. So he had that going for him too. But he just said, you know, if she can do it, you can do it too. And he built me up within 5 months. I was six figures. I got that car. I got my founder shares. And I had a global team. I'd had nobody in my team that was local to me because he built it all up online.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of sat back and had that, you know, aha moment of like, shit, this is an opportunity. Like there's so many network marketers out there. They join, they find their friends, they find their family.
They invite them to the lunch.
They find them to the lunch.
And then they run out of people in their phone to invite to lunch.
Right.
And then they quit and give up.
They made $500, and then they're done. Right. Yeah. But what else can you do? And that's where AK Social House was born. And you know, we started with just network marketers. And it was really with the company that we were working with at the time, you know, to help them build their omnipresence, build their personal brand. And we truly believe that people buy from people, and they're not joining. They're not looking for you to buy your shampoo or looking for you to, you know, buy your wellness product, because there's hundreds of thousands of people doing the same, right? Yeah. So what's setting you apart? And it's you, it's your personality. And
if they want a shampoo, they can go to Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go get a shampoo.
You never go to Walmart and get your shampoo. Oh, well, let's just clarify that.
Oh. Perp shampoo. You know?
I still, still stand behind. I think actually all the network marketing companies have incredible products, and you should all be using them, because you know they're cutting out the middleman and they're helping feed a family. And so I'm definitely a promoter of that, you know, of just of whatever company it is.
You can support a big corporation or somebody over there trying to put a roof over their head.
Exactly. You don't want to join their business. Go buy their products and try them out, and you know, give them a testimonial or whatnot. But so we looked at that, and then just early last year I had to make the decision, because I kind of came to this path of I can continue growing and scaling my network marketing business. I knew it was, you know, sky's the limit. We did help my sister when we created our systems, and she's a seven-figure earner, and she's in Canada, so she had to hit seven figures in USD to be able to call herself a seven-figure earner. With, you know, the exchange rate, that's like $2 million.
If you live in Mexico and you have seven-figure peso earner,
it doesn't count.
In this situation, you might still live a good life.
Actually, no, because it's like
250 pesos for a burrito.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's like 18 to 1 or something. It's like 15 bucks or something like that. You know? Exactly. In 40 years, we're going to be looking at the menu. It's going to be $250 because of inflation in the United States.
So if they keep printing out money. Like 18 grand?
If it's 18 to 1, don't put me on the spot like that. But if it's 1.8 million pesos, it would be $100,000.
So
I guess they would have to have 18 million pesos in sales to be a seven-figure
earner. Yeah. So yeah. maybe when you're scaling your business,
it was about $2 million.
It's closer now. It used to be like 1.5.
It was about 1.5.
Yeah, 1.4, 1.5.
In revenue there to be called the seven-figure earner.
Yeah. Okay. So we did that just early last year. I made the kind of that, you know, pivot in my business to say I'm going all in with AK Social House and the creative director with them, and you know, just to grow and scale at that level, but then also to be able to help and serve not just the company that we're with, but like all the companies. Yeah. Q Sciences, Savvy, Modere, you know, Bellamy. It's the sky's the limit, and they all need help. They all, you know, they all need that help with building their authority, building their brand.
Well, they originally bought in based upon creating a new life for them and their family, right? They had a dream. And, you know, the dream is there and it's possible because they're watching other people talk about it. But at the exact same time, there's a gap between where they're at and getting to their goal, getting to their dream, right? And where I see you guys is you guys are the bridge
trying to fill
between
that gap,
where they are and where they're trying to go in order to create the type of content or funnels or awareness, I guess, right? It's every business just has an awareness problem. If they don't know you exist and you can't get yourself in front of people, then it's hard to make money, right? So you guys are there to kind of, you know, help them navigate, I guess, you know, these waters from, you know, trying to go from maybe a single mom trying to feed their family or somebody staying at home wanting to contribute and, you know, live this different lifestyle that they see, that they feel, that they know is there, but they just don't really know how to get it.
It's achievable.
And then you start on the path to make that a reality. And then you get punched in the face a million times, you get frustrated and you quit and give up. Yeah. And I think it's just really the tenacity, right? You have to think outside of what you currently know in order to get the result that you want. And I think it's really awesome that you guys have been able to bridge the gap and say, hey, you don't have to know it all, but we have to brand you. We have to, you know, get awareness around you, what you do. So that you can get to where you're trying to go, so you can get to that big goal.
And what's
big
making
dream.
You so special? You know, if you're a single mom that's coming from nothing to growing to six to seven figures, I've worked with so many women that have, you know, really just built an entire amazing life for themselves. We had, you know, one lady who has almost lost her home, her husband went bankrupt. You know, there's so many stories, and then you've just flipped everything upside down. But you're not sharing that. Nobody knows that. They're too busy now focusing on building their business, building their teams, you know, hopping on the team training that they're missing out now on more opportunity because, yes, it's residual, but you've got to keep on going and keep on growing, right? You always have team members.
Coal on the fire.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. And how do you do that? So, you know, you're sharing your story, you're sharing that mentorship and everything. We call it stacking your offer. Like, you get a business in a box when you join me, but what else do you get? You get my one-on-one, you get my training, my mentorship, you get, you know, my authority in this business to help you grow and scale. I've done it. I'm going to show you the steps X, Y, Z to do it too. Yeah.
I think somebody had to talk about their situation at one point for that individual to buy in.
Yeah,
right. And I think, you know, they get to a point where they're making money, all is fine and in, but I think it's their responsibility to be able to, you know, go out there and share their story so that they can light more fire. Somebody lit their fire with their story.
Yeah.
And the same thing that lit your fire is the same thing that might light a fire for somebody else that's currently struggling. You're talking about, hey, on the verge of bankruptcy, they're hurting financially. There's somebody else out there like that right now.
Yeah.
And if you're not really branding yourself, one, it's an opportunity to make more money, which is a great thing. Yeah. But it's also an opportunity to serve other individuals, to show them what's possible.
Yeah.
And if you're not putting yourself in front of them, then they just don't know what's possible. And so I think that that's what's cool about it is, yes, you're helping individuals build their business, but you're also helping other individuals get awareness on what's possible so that then they can build their business, right?
That's exactly right. And I always tell leaders too, it's not about, yes, it's about making the money too, but it's about creating that impact and sharing that story. And if you look at not just network marketing, but if you look at any entrepreneurs, influencers out there, what do they go out, what do they go out and do on stage every time they're out on stage? They share their story. They share the same story over and over and over again. If you've seen Ed Mylett talk, you'll hear him say the same story.
Yeah.
I listen to Jasmine Starr all the time. She shares her same story of being an immigrant coming to the U.S. and what she's done. And people just keep resonating with that. And you keep watching and following. So if you have an incredible story to share and you've built your business based on hardship or something, you and you had that aha moment, if you share that, you're creating more of an impact. You're letting more people, these regular average people, know that you don't have to be regular and average, but it's a mindset thing too, right? It's you know, at what point, and I always say, even network marketing, it's like self-development with a paycheck. You know, or there's no leader that were the same person, you know, 5 years prior or whatnot, working, you know, their typical day job. It's just a whole different ball game.
So. Well, that's what's so cool about what you guys do too, is it's like, yeah, you have experience to be able to mentor people on steps they can take to become seven-figure earners in something like direct sales or multi-level marketing. But like your services of actually building their personal brand, because it gives them actually courage to go do it, right? Because people don't know what they don't know. And then on top of that, it's like there's that whole fear of just like taking that step and like actually posting or speaking on your story. And you actually make that a lot easier, right? Because I see your guys' work. You guys have been doing it for us, right? You take this stuff, you build something that they're proud of. Now they have a little more courage to share that, right?
Exactly.
You build this cool like personal brand website for them that they can now they have like a little more courage to actually try and funnel people to it. So there's like a lot of there's a lot of power that you guys are really pouring into people, to where it's like you're building something that they're actually proud of with their story, with their, you know, reels, with their story, their Instagram stories, like all that stuff. So they're going to actually take that step and share it, because people, they have such a hard time doing it, right?
Or they create all this content. It just kind of sits there. I create all kinds of stuff and it just sits on your phone. You never actually see it. You know, you never put it together. And at the same time too, if you take a website, I mean, we call it hybrid systems. So it's essentially a smart website that's tied into email marketing and follow-up. We always say the fortune's in the follow-up. And a lot of people, especially network marketing, you know, they fail that part miserably. You know, after the second, third, they feel spammy. They feel, you know, I'm salesy. Oh, they're going to block me. And, you know, if you have a follow-up system that's educating your prospects and providing value, I'm not saying that it's going to say, hey, come buy my products every day, but something that's providing value, you know, anybody that you listen to or watch, you're in their ecosystem for sure. You know, you've dropped your email at some point and you're being funneled through that way. But it also gives them an opportunity to share anything else besides their network marketing. So yes, that's great. That's one stream of income. You want to be a seven-figure earner, you should probably have at least, you know, 5 to 7, you know, different streams of income. And I talk to so many leaders that they love talking, they love mentoring and training. And then I tell them, have you ever thought of a podcast? You know, have you ever, oh, I would never think to do that. I don't have the space. And, and I said, you know, you can just voice memo yourself on your phone, some really great conversation. And we can take that audio and we can put some really great footage of you, like whether you're just doing laundry, you're bathing your kids, you're walking the dog, going for a run. We put that over you. Now you don't have Tony Robbins talking. You have you talking. You talking the good things that you have. And now you've just given so much authority, so much credibility to yourself. And it's like an aha moment for them. And I'm like, well, then you launch your podcast. Nobody needs to see, you know, face on. It can just be voiceover. And we can put that on your website too. And you've just given yourself even more credibility in your niche, right? So it's so many spaces, you know, to be able to grow.
Do you guys ever like actually post for them on their social
media? Absolutely.
You do?
Well, full-time assistant that does that. I remember the very beginning, you know, of starting the business. It was, we were posting, we were doing Instagram transformations, we were doing followers growth, because back then it was all about growing the followers, you know, and it's just come a whole long way now. I mean, we do have a team now that, you know, we'll do content posting. We've got clients from the last 3 years that we're still posting on their social media for, but it's just come to so much more than that, because nobody really just wants kind of a dead post. You know, if you just post and you turn your account off, you're not going to get any engagement. People want to see reels. They want to be entertained. They want to be given value. And that really comes through, you know, providing some really great content.
I miss the old days when you could just do the hashtag follow for follow. The good old days.
And everybody loved it.
And then everyone
I'll
go to the
you,
hashtag.
Follow you, follow you.
I'll follow you if you follow me. But, you know, we were talking about that last night on our call. I'm like, it's not follow for follow anymore. You know,
it's just not how it works.
You know? Yeah, now it's that's worth something now. Yeah. So people just don't give up a follow that easy. And so, really, if you're not investing into your awareness and into your brand and
into your business,
into your business, I mean, that's what it is at this point, right? Yeah. That's just the environment that we're in. And either you're adjusting to the environment that we're in or you're going to be left behind. You know, unfortunately, we don't get to dictate the environment, but we do get to dictate our actions. And so you guys giving a platform and you know, a product or a service to individuals that just really don't know where to start is amazing, you know, because we probably would have never started if we weren't, you know, financially capable of being able to bring on people to help. You know, I'm sure it's a lot harder for somebody to just get a camera and try to do the cap cuts and this, because they're probably overly critiquing themselves. What's cool about you guys is it just kind of happens behind the scenes and then you make people look cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then they feel better about posting. It's like, oh,
I look so great. Wow,
you know? With that music and, you know, a little B-roll, like those walking filters. Slowly with sipping coffee. It looks awesome.
I'll post that. Yeah.
You know, if that's what's going to build my brand.
That's true. Even on things like that we post, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our team posts it, right? Yeah. So like, there's been many times where I'm like, I would have never posted that. I don't think I like it. But then that one gets a shit ton of engagement, right? Like,
you can't take it down now.
I mean, we criticize ourselves more than anything, right? Well, so to have a team like that, like posting and everything.
When we first started and I was doing all the posting for the first couple of years, like we would get the content sent over to me and I would save it in a file. And I'm like, oh, this one's a banger. You know, and you post and it's like, and I was like, what? And then like there was one that I was just like saving because I absolutely hated it.
Yeah, right? That's the one that
and
blows
then
you, up.
And then and then it would blow up. It's like it's been sitting there in my camera roll for like 2 months and it's like, okay, when we run out, I guess I'll just fill space. And then you like post it and it's like, boom. It's like just sometimes the stuff that you feel like resonates with you won't resonate with the people that are following you because maybe you guys are at two different levels right now. And so it's kind of nice to have somebody else behind the scenes just kind of doing
being
the
able
posts,
to do it and staying on top with the trends and what's you know, what's the trending music, you know, the trending captions and all those different things. And that's kind of what's led us to like the last probably 7 or 8 months where we've now grown and scaled into AK Media on the media side of things. And it's now helping people launch their podcast, doing the reels, doing the video coverage. And we've just been really kind of blowing up over Orange County in terms of working with influencers and putting their, you know, their presence and their brand out there and really creating some really cool stuff. So, you know, we've kind of made a bit of a shift. Network marketers is where we've started and is where we continue to really grow and scale and building their authority. And we'll continue to always do that. And now just in the last 6-7 months, it's been, you know, working with these influencers and, you know, really awesome people. I mean, and the names, should I drop names? They're awesome, you know?
Yeah, you can if you want.
Hey, that's how I met you guys.
That's how I met you. We've got Keith Yackey with the Merry Game.
He's been on here.
Yeah, he's been on here. We've done some work for Cole Hatter with Thrive, with Make Money Matter. We've actually went out to their orphanage in Mexico and shot some content for them.
Oh, that's cool.
We've been over for Dan Martell doing some work, Garrett G. White with the Wake Up Warriors.
What about those two badass dudes out of Utah?
Gosh, the real business owners. Phenomenal.
You know, I love those guys.
They, you know what? We're stuck with them. They're stuck with us. They can't leave us now.
I don't know who's stuck with who, but if you think you're, you know,
you said you had an extra arm there for my husband.
We think you're stuck with us. So that sounds like a sticky situation.
That's a sticky situation. We're going to stick with it.
Yeah. But I do want to talk, because it's all fine and dandy, you know, like we talk about all the cool things that's been accomplished, but at the exact same time, there's a lot of struggle that's behind the scenes that goes into everything that you guys have been able to do, you know, and I really want to highlight that because that's more real than anything else.
You know, I think a lot of people have these great stories. And when it gets to social media, you see, you see all the highlight. If you go to my Social Savvy Mama, you see nothing but a smile and makeup done. And you don't see my kids a mess. They're not allowed on social media
when you get on a podcast, you straighten your back out. And we get the lipstick and, you know, we slapped our cheeks so that they'd be rosy.
You're ready to go.
You're welcome. It hurts to slap yourself.
And nobody sees, you know, the hardship. Or the different things that you go to. I mean, and I was just telling you guys a little bit just in the last, you know, probably 8 to 10 months of what we've been through. We drove to here through COVID, you know, and now we're in California living the dream. I mean, it's incredible, beautiful. There's not a whole lot of people feeling sorry for us that we've moved to Orange County, right? But throughout that, I mean, we did have some really crazy, scary times. And when you're growing and scaling a business, you can't just step aside like you would your 9-to-5 and say, hey, I'm going to take some short-term leave here because I'm going through some major crazy
stuff.
You
don't call
your
clients that are dependent on you and say, hey, it's a leave of absence. You know? We'll be back. You have no social for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Nobody knows, and your clients can never know what you're going through because to them, you're a business and you're putting, you know, all they're trusting in you and they're expecting a return in their business. Yeah. We had a really scary moment with our 3-year-old. She was with the babysitter. She said she put a bead up her nose. And I did post about this because it wasn't a bead. It was a little button battery. So
they call those literally baby slayers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's super scary. Ooh, I mean, if anything,
swallow them. Oh my god! Or obviously, this one went up the nose, but
yeah. And they got, if they swallow it, they've got 30 minutes pretty much to get it out.
Why? Because of the acid in your stomach.
Yeah. Oh, and it will literally just kill them. Like, it's super scary. So she said it was a bead. We picked up like a little blue bead, and both my daughter, that's what it is, a little blue bead. So at that time, we were seeing an ENT. She needed ear tubes. And I thought, oh, if we got to put her to sleep to put ear tubes in, I'd rather do it all together and not have to, you know, put her to sleep twice. So the ENT said, we can wait until the morning. She's got to fast, you know, to be able to put her to sleep. So she slept with this in her nose. And when he came out, he said it was a button bag. Battery. It caused a chemical burn. He said he's worked with cancer patients for years. They never seen anything like it. He had pictures all over the clinic. She's had to have 5 surgeries since then. Every 45, 50 days I was going in to have that kid put to sleep. It was the most terrifying moment ever. At the same time, I'm literally in a hospital bed with her and I'm messaging clients, and it takes like a whole different, you know, kind of persona to be able to do that. Yeah. You know,
a whole level of resolve that I don't think a lot of people understand. And like, that's one thing that I love about our show is being able to pull back the curtain a little bit and show people those. Like, it's, I get why you start the journey to create this dream for yourself, but you have to also know what comes along with that.
Yeah.
You know, the sacrifices that come along with the journey that you're trying to embark on, because
and are you going
to
quit?
Yeah. I mean, over 5 or 10 years, I mean, as you're on this build process, life still happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody gets a get out of jail free card just because you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to show up every day. You're, you know, in the hospital, you know, messaging people, watching your daughter go through surgery after surgery, just saying, okay, like, you know, not asking somebody else to feel sorry for you. Hey, sorry, I'm in the hospital. I can't, you know, you're not asking for a pass. You're still having to show up on a day to day.
As an entrepreneur, I don't think you're even really allowed to ask for a pass, you know, because then you're sort of looked at like, you know, like, well, you're not taking things seriously, or, you know, find somebody else. If you can't do it, hire somebody at that moment to find somebody to take your place for that moment.
Yeah.
During all that time, I thought I pulled a back muscle because my daughter's, you know, a little chunky monkey, and I'm carrying her around.
Well fed over here in the United States.
You know, she loves her pizza and pasta. but it turned out I had a kidney infection. I spiked a fever. You know, my husband was away that weekend, and I was laying on the floor, and I called my mom. I said, shit, I'm in a lot of pain. She said, you got to get to emergency. Well, when I got to emergency, they thought I had COVID because I had a fever. So they kind of like left me out in the waiting room for about 6 hours, and it could have went septic. I had a kidney infection so bad that I was on, you know, IV. They were giving me all kinds of things for the pain. It took 9 days to get me out of there. And at that time, they give you this really heavy, what's that? Like, you know, not an antibiotic, but like a narcotic that can really put you out and you can like get addicted to it. They gave me one pill of that, and I sat on the couch like completely like a zombie.
Yeah.
And so when that wore off, I said, well, I can't do that. I can't even look at my phone. So I don't have time to take that narcotic. I flushed those down the toilet, and I was like, I'm just going to hang out with some Tylenol and ibuprofen until I get through this pain. So it's manageable, but so that my brain is still functional and I can still work this business. So that had all kind of happened. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't stop there. Last month I went in with some pain, and they came out and said, you've tested positive, you got COVID, and you're pregnant. So nobody knows that. My social media doesn't know that. And, you know, and then all through just in the last few weeks, I'm still here suffering a miscarriage because I had no heartbeat, but life goes on, and your business goes on. So,
You know, I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that because, That's the shit that nobody talks about, know, and
see all the fun stuff and fluffy stuff.
I mean, still like, and we try to show a good face, and because we're trying to, again, create, you know, awareness to ourselves. And it's not like we want to tell everybody our sob stories, this, that, but to be quite honest with you, you sharing that and your vulnerability draws people in, you know, it makes you even that much more real. And it's like, wow, I'm now more closer to you because you shared that information.
Yeah.
And I think that people are like trying to put on this big facade out in the world, when in reality, it's our struggles that make us come together, because that is something that no individual is immune from. Yeah. Like, we all are living this human experience. We're all going to be dealt with problems. Yeah. You can go ahead and put whoever you want to put on a pedestal, but behind the scenes, they're dealing with something.
Yeah.
Right. And so we just, they're lucky, or they're this, they're that. We can label it however we want to label it. But I'm telling you, they're dealing with hurt. They're dealing with pain. They're dealing with struggle, but they're still showing up the same way every single day, despite the pain, the hurt, the struggle, because they have a big dream, they have a big goal, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Yeah. And so the question is if you're listening to this and you're going through something, guess what?
We're all going through something.
Welcome to the fucking club.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the process. Like, Kale's got to be going, I'm going through something, you're going. Anybody that's an entrepreneur is going through something, even outside of business. And now we've got to deal with our personal life, plus put out a billion different fires in the business while we're trying to scale it and grow it, hire people, you know, just, it's a whole juggling act that I think outsiders looking into business or at entrepreneurs don't really fully understand. And that's why it's easily to label them as lucky or this or that, or, you know, just put one of those soft words out there that really, takes away from all the sacrifices that they've had to put in order to get the result that they have.
And the hard work and the time away from their family and all of those things, you know, and if you're new or you're looking to start up a company or you're looking to, you know, get into the network marketing space, whatever that is, you really need to take a step back and ask yourself, am I cut out to do this? Yeah. Because if you would have asked me, you know, 10 years ago, am I cut out to do this? I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and, you know, just chill and hang out. Now, if you ask me again, I am 100% cut out to do this. My husband and I would never be as strong as we are today if it wasn't for our businesses. And even our family will look at us like we're fucking crazy. Like, you know, why you just, you know, had a surgery, just lay back and relax. You know, I've never seen a Netflix show. Don't ask me what's on TV. I haven't put on a TV in probably 2 years, you know, unless it's like, you know, my kids watching, you know, Paw Patrol or whatever.
Teletubbies Paw Patrol. Yes, we could recite all of the kid episodes if we're driving in the car, because that's, they watch the same shit on repeat. And it's like, we've never seen it, but we've heard the same show like 100 times.
There's no, and you got to ask yourself, are you willing to really take a step back and be vulnerable and be, you know, in that mind space to say, I'm going to do this. And when shit hits the fan, that you're not going to quit. And when you're not making what you thought you were going to make, that you're not going to quit. It's the same in that network marketing business. I hear it all the time. I work with so many, I work with top leaders. I work with people just starting out. Oh, I can't do it. She's gotten so lucky. She got in, you know, at the right time, you know, that they just launched over there. Oh, she just switched to a different company. So now she's, you know, she's not going to get to where she needs to because she just left everything. You got to do what's best for you, for you, for your family. You can't be influenced by other people. You can't be influenced by your friends, by your family. If I would listen to my mom, my dad, to my husband's mom, my, you know, dad, we would be living our 9-to-5 jobs. We'd be happy, you know, living, but we'd be just relaxed, chill. Does that make us happy? It makes a lot of people happy. You might be happy in your 9-to-5 job. It's just not where we want to be. We've even have our kids embedded in it, in the business. They're a part of it. We're growing, we're scaling. We live a crazy life, but when we have fun and it's weekend and it's family time, don't call me, it's family time, and my kids know that. You know, it's just a, it's a different upbringing, it's a different way of life. But
I don't think people that have never experienced entrepreneurship really like, they can look at it and be like, you know, like, well, I'm happy doing my nine to five and all that, but like, but then they don't understand why they're so depressed sometimes too. Whereas entrepreneurs, man, like, we get depressed too, but it's like, we also live super exciting lives because we're just all in on our dreams, right? Like, we're just all in on just going out there and getting it. And
it's different levels.
So people can't understand it or relate to it, but they also don't really like have, like, I don't know, the people I know anyway, that like live the 9-to-5, they like, they don't understand why they're
depressed.
Why
are you doing that? Why are you doing so?
But then us as entrepreneurs, like, we know why we're depressed, but we also know why we live freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And we know how to get out of it too. That's the thing too. I think the 9-to-5ers,
it's awareness, right?
They, you know, they go see their doctor. I'm, you know, I'm sad, I'm upset, I'm depressed, you know, and they maybe get a pill. Yeah. And I think entrepreneurs, they know you're depressed. Go out there, go break a sweat, go exercise. You run, what, 20, fucking, 30, fucking 40 miles an hour, you know? But the average person doesn't do
that. Go increase your stress and fucking pain.
No, the average
person. That the pain that you deal with every single day is just nothing. You know,
right?
So like,
you put a smile on your face.
I just think with entrepreneurship, you can't stay there. If you're going to survive in business and you're at a low spot, you can't stay there. It will be unbearable. Yeah. So then you start looking in the mirror and saying, okay, what's one thing that I can tweak or change? Okay, I can start focusing on myself. I can start moving my body.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I can remove the Netflix out of my life.
Yeah.
I can, so it's really, what can I start subtracting that would create a little bit of momentum shift in the right direction, right? And so you can't really have it all. And what I mean by that is you can't have all the leisure bullshit, understand and have the water cooler talk and be able to have all the stats of the football games or understand what's going on Netflix and every season and be able to be in the know with, I hate to say it, average people, right? Because that's what they're doing is they're clocking really out mentally into this thing that doesn't even exist, that's not true and real. And all it is a distraction from really what's going on in life. Yeah. Entrepreneurs, they don't do that as much, right? They don't have the ability to clock out. When they clock out, usually they're clocking out of their business for self-improvement just for the purpose of being able to survive in their business, right? It's like business forces you to be on a self-improvement journey because if you're not on a self-improvement journey, there's no way you're going to be able to survive 5 years, 10 years, 15 years because it's a brutal, brutal game and it's all mental, right? Yeah, it's a mindset. 100%. And so it's like, okay, what environments can I create for myself outside of business to develop my mind, to develop my body so that I have the stamina to survive in this brutal environment that I continue to put myself in, day out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out. And so it's just, you can clock out a life and you know, watch these TV shows, these sitcoms or these football games, but guess what? Tomorrow's coming. And you're still going to have to wake up and walk into the thing that you're trying to distract yourself from, which is this thing called your life, right? And so you guys are just going all in on your life, and life is business, right? Life is family. Life isn't Netflix. Life isn't clocking out a reality. You guys are clocking in all of these different areas that you deem of importance, right? Like my health. It's time to clock in over here. It's time to move my body. Okay, it's time to clock in with the business. It's time to be there for my people, my clients, my employees. It's time to clock in over here and be all in with my kids. And in some cases, you guys try to, you know, it sounds like in all cases, you try to, you know, intertwine them into those things as well, whether it is moving your body, whether it is in your business, because it's just kind of this ball mashed together of life, family, you know, business, health. It's just really a lifestyle, I guess, is really what it comes
It's a lifestyle. And if you bring it all together, it actually makes it super fun. I mean, we converted our backyard into this whole, you know, workout space, but it's got a basketball net, it's got soccer, it's got weights, you know, and we turn the music on, get the kids out there. Why do we got to hit the gym when we can all work out and exercise together, you know,
and create that environment right there to where it's easy.
Yeah.
To make the decision to go out there and share that environment with your kids, right? Yeah.
I also think that if you hit a super, super low, you have to use that as an opportunity to give you more strength and to come out on top with something greater. Every time we hit something, some sort of wall, I get sick, the kids get sick, something, you can look at that as an opportunity to say, oh, I'm just going to lay down. I'm going to take, you know, a week. I need to breathe. Or you can look at it as, you know what, that's God, that's the universe, call it what it is. Mm-hmm. You're being tested to see do you have the ability to reach that next level in your life. You know, if I'm going really great and you know, clients are great and I went from maybe acquiring 10 clients to 20 clients a month and it's amazing, I'm ready to hit that next level in my business and that next level of impact. Oh, but yet somebody gets sick or, you know, this miscarriage happened. Is that an opportunity for me to just take a break, or is that an opportunity for me to say, I got this, I can be strong and I can get through this and I'm going to come out on top even better than what I was 3 months ago. Let's do it.
That is right there. The biggest thing about entrepreneurship is you create self-reliance. You know what I mean? Like you are like every single level you hit, you are not just increasing your confidence, you're increasing like your own self-reliance. And that's why entrepreneurs will flush those pills down the toilet and they make them feel like a zombie versus somebody that works a 9-to-5 or a job is, you know, like just living on those pills, right? Like most entrepreneurs I know, even if they've come from like a drug past or whatever, it's like they overcame it, right? Like they, you know, they don't get dependent on things because they are trying to create and they are creating their own self-dependence, their own self-reliance. And that's like, as they hit these new levels, man, that's like why they can go fly in private jets and do all these amazing things that people look up to is because they built that self-reliance and that confidence in themselves at every single level. And so what's cool about your guys' story too, but your story is like, you know, like how many times you've pivoted to be where you're at right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've become a seven-figure earner in the MLM world. Now you're building a seven-figure business with your partner in life, you know, and like you left corporate America to do the, you know, you've done corporate all these Canada. Amazing.
CC.
You've done all these amazing things and now you have like this, like, you know, like, hey man, my kids are sick. I'm still going to be messaging clients from the hospital bed. Like I relate to that so much. Like, man, I've been at kids' ball games to hospitals to everything. I'm still handling my clients while I'm still being there for my family, but I know I can because I've built that self-reliance. I have that confidence in myself to know like, hey, no matter what comes up, I can handle it. I can solve the problem, you know, because that's what we are. We're all a bunch of problem solvers, you know what I mean? That's what's cool. That's what I keep hearing in your story is like, you know, that's what separates us from just ordinary people that try and that think we're crazy. Like, work your 9-to-5 job. Yep. You know, what are you guys doing this all for? It's like, well, it's not just about the money. It's about the person I'm becoming, which is a person that has confidence, has self-reliance, independence. Like, I don't want to ever rely on a 9-to-5 job to dictate what type of life me and my family live, right?
So to tell me when I can take a vacation or how often I can have that time, that time away, just the thought of having to go back to that or ever, you know, I think that would put me into severe depression, you know, to say you're going back here, you have, you know, 4 weeks vacation, woohoo, you know, and tell me exactly what my pay is going to be because it's just, you know, I think that's, but if you don't know any different, then you don't feel like you're missing out. Yeah. And I think that's why I love the network marketing space. And if I say that it's not, I'm not in network marketing anymore. So it's not like I'm, you know, trying to promote or recruit people.
Because I'm not trying to give you a free lunch.
I'm not trying. I'm not trying to sell you shampoo or, you know, or any of that because I work with them. I, you know, I don't offer it, but I do feel that that is such a perfect space for anybody who's even remotely thinking, why would you go and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a franchise for that, you know, what if moment to build up when you can spend like, you know, $100, go find a company that you like or people, a network, a community that you like what they're doing and give it a shot you know, and just to see if entrepreneurship is something that's in your blood. It's not for everybody. What do they say? The top, you know, 2%. I mean, it's a very small percentage of people that actually get in and actually succeed and grow to the top, but you got to at least be open to an opportunity and then you can come back and be like, nah, I like my 9-to-5. If, you know, if that's the road you choose, then great. You know?
Yeah, it's true. But that's the same percentage, whether you start a business, join an MLM, or even if you do corporate America, like,
and try to climb to the top.
Who gets to the top? It's a very small percentage of people. Yeah. And so, you know.
And you get to the top and then you're still capped. Yeah. So what, you just spend 10, 15 years to in corporate America to reach the top, to be the president. You know, maybe you got your seven figures, but it's like capped at that, you know, unless you're getting bonuses or whatnot. But
The top of anything is the top 1 or 2%.
Yeah.
Whether you're an athlete, whether you're in corporate America, whether you're in, you know, business, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
And you'll have to fight your ass off regardless of the industry that you're in, regardless of whatever it is that you're doing in order to get there. The question is there an opportunity to get there? And are you willing to make the sacrifices along the way?
Yeah.
There is a price that needs to be paid. Some people are willing to pay that price and other people aren't willing to pay that price, you know? And I think, you know, you guys do a great job with, you know, your perspective with pain. You know, that's one thing that I've noticed speaking with, you know, AK and yourself is, you know, you're talking about, hey, you know, this happens, adversity happens as we're trying to go the next level of business, but I know that we just get stronger.
Yeah.
So you keep perspective in pain, right? A lot of people use pain as an excuse to take it easy, like, because nobody's going to fault them for that.
Right.
Right. Like they have a valid excuse to take their foot off the gas and everyone, it's okay. Because everybody else is saying, hey, take it easy to, okay, if everybody else is saying that and that's what you deep down want to do, guess what? We all want to do it, but we have
lay
to
on
like
that couch
either
and
you're
turn
listening,
the TV on.
Either you're listening to the biggest cheerleader side of your mind or the heckler in your mind that's saying, take it easy, pull back. You know, you don't have to show up that way, right? Like, and then there's the cheerleader that's saying like, yo, like, this is it right here. This is the test that I need to overcome in order to become the individual that I'm trying to, or to get the result that I want, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we're constantly, there's this self-communication when we're in the storm. We're like, okay, this is a good thing, because every other storm that I've been in, when we pop out the other side, my relationship is stronger. The business is stronger. You know, my self-worth becomes greater. Like, there's so many positives that come from pain and storms. It's just people don't stay in the storm long enough to get to the other side to actually have that perspective. Mm-hmm. And once you've faced enough problems, and that, now that's just your perspective. It's just who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's how you know you're going to be successful, because a storm represents progress,
right?
Not take it easy, right? Yeah. Like with the average individual.
Anytime that something happens, we always say, you know, Amber, that's just part of your story.
Yeah.
You know, that's just happened to Viola. That's part of your story. That's just happened to you. It's part of your story. You know, the fact that my husband deals with his own, you know, mental awareness and being, you know, diagnosed with being bipolar, you know, he could.
I like both sides of him. Just let's put that on record.
You know, he could have took a pill, right? You could take a pill and you could just be like this. Yeah. And that's how a lot of doctors want you to be.
You can look at who he is.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've always said no to that. That you can be extraordinary, and there's something truly special about what the gift that you have. Mm-hmm. And so we embrace it, and we just take it all in. Do we deal with severe highs and severe lows? Absolutely. You know, but it's all about it's making you that much closer, that much stronger together. Yeah. You work together as a family, you get your children involved, and you know, is Baba having a good day? You know, this is what we do to make sure that we all have a great day. Make sure he's got a routine, make sure he's got food, make sure he's that an exercise, you know, make sure all those things, you take all those things away and you add stress, you're going to add a very, very, you know, a low moment. So we learn how to cope with all those things and get through and have a routine for our entire family. And that allows you to just grow and together.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's up to each individual to put a lab coat on and continue to test, try different things to find the routine that works for you, that makes you feel good, that produces the outcome that you want to produce, versus, you know, going home and clocking out like, I'm tired, I had a long day at work. So really, when you should be clocking in for your family at that point, you know, most people are clocking out like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to throw the football, you know, or I don't want to play or read that book, or, you know, whatever it is, because I've had a long day.
Yeah.
Like, your kids want you to clock in as a parent too, right? And so we give ourselves the out because we had a long day and we clock out when we get home.
Yeah,
and
put the TV on.
But in reality, you're clocking out because there's something else missing, right? So put the lab coat on, try different things, and create a routine that makes you feel good to where, you know, you don't have to clock out, where you're more available in the areas that you need to be available to make the impact that you need to make in all areas of your life. Because we sometimes get narrowly focused just on business and just on finances, and we create an entire mess behind us because we're forgetting our loved ones, whether it is our children or friends, whoever it is, you know, on that path. But, you know, it's your obligation to figure out how to juggle it all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is possible, but it's not possible with all the distractions plus making all the investments in those right areas at the same time. You have to remove distractions so that you can create time for the areas that are of importance.
And, you know, it also comes down to, I always tell AK this, he'll feel very guilty if he says, you know, I feel so bad, I haven't played basketball with Zayden, or I haven't done anything with Zayden. It's been so busy. I've traveled here, I've done this, you know, and his work is demanding in what he does. And I always tell him, you know what, the great thing about it, because our kids are 3 and 6, is they can't tell time. They don't know whether they spent 30 minutes with you or 5 hours with you. Yeah. So if you take that time for 30 minutes, if that's all that you have because you're busy, and you go outside right now and you play basketball and you break a sweat, Satan's going to bed just thinking, I just had such a fun time with Dad, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was 30 freaking minutes. You can find that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not telling you go spend the whole freaking day and go take a whole Sunday and, you know, 10 hours and put everything aside and go do it. They don't know the difference. They're going to just go to bed feeling happy and joy, and they're loved and they got attention. Go up and read them a book for 5 minutes and come back down. You know, Daddy's busy. Yeah. They understand that, but they've gotten some one-on-one time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can do it in little pieces, better than nothing at all. You know.
So important, you know, because I do the same thing. I'm gone all the time. Yeah. Or if I am home, there's like, you know, one kid that's whatever, 16-year-old's got all his baseball stuff going on. And then these little kids, you feel like you're getting neglected. And then you're laying in bed like, oh, man, like.
Did I even see them today?
Yeah, like, what are, you know, like, they need me. What are, I feel so, it's like you start living with that shame, you know. Yeah. But you're right. You just, you know, just got to give them that little bit of time. Like, I have one kid that just loves Fortnite, you know? And so if I play
10 minutes of Fortnite,
15 minutes of Fortnite with him,
best dad ever.
Know, he's like in heaven, right? But sometimes he wants to go kick the soccer ball or, you know, the basketball hoop. The wind blew over a basketball hoop, though. Not, it broke the rim.
Oh, ooh, dude, that's scary. I've had to deal with that.
We got some crazy wind this last week.
You go to Home Depot and get those like 25 or 50 pound sandbags. And
that's
put
what
them
you need, yeah.
Back. Yeah.
That's what my sister said. Yeah. She said, don't you have sandbags for your basketball? I said, we don't get wind. This is California. She said, oh, in Canada. She said, we have like 100 sandbags for this, you know, this basketball. Basketball that,
It was full of the water and
that's
everything.
That's all we did. Full of water.
Yeah, you still got to put sandbags on the back, bro.
Just buy a new one.
But hey, it still works, bro. I promise you that, dude.
Don't need the rim.
I've dunked on my kids and the neighborhood kids before at that shithole basketball hoop that I had out in front of my other house. You know,
everywhere Trev goes, he gets the neighbor kids over. Like, we never get neighbor kids in our neighborhood.
Yeah, you know? Kel comes over like two or three weeks ago. Like, I'm building a BMX track out in the horse pasture so the kid, my kid and his neighborhood buddies can ride their bikes. Like, I'm trying to create an environment for them to go outside and, you know, have a childhood,
and
right?
See them,
And then, like, me and Kel are walking in, checking the progress from the BMX track. And, like, my son and a couple of other kids, hey, do you guys want to play football? You guys against us? And I was like, duh. Like, you're about to get smoked. Like, we ain't going easy on your shitheads.
Bring it on.
Asses, dude. You're about to get,
like four of them against just me and Trav, you know.
So you just throw it up high and it's just like, boom. You know? Like, it feels good still to get a W. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter if they're 6, 12, 16. As long as you're getting W's under your belt, dude, it's a good day. So
I wish I had neighbor kids that come over like that. You
know? We don't have them either.
We play pickup games out in front of my other house. The neighborhood kid, I'd just be out playing like 21 or something with my kids, and the neighborhood kids would be like walking by. I could take you. And
I'm
like,
bring it on. We even moved to a cul-de-sac.
I will dunk on you, boy. Get over here. Let's lower the rim. I'm gonna throw it up to myself off the backboard and feel like I'm like 8 feet tall. So thank you. You know, short guy needs help to feel tall sometimes. So
hey, can't tell in a podcast. We're all 6 feet.
Yeah, well, right. You know, the neighborhood kids have been getting older in my other neighborhood. That's why I had to move.
Yeah,
they're all 15, 16. They're all like hitting growth spurts. And I'm like, no, I twisted my ankle last week, dude.
So it's not your kids. I'll catch you later. The other kids it's Trevor. He lures them into just dominating the sports.
Yeah, once they turn 15, I don't want no trouble.
Well, I love what you guys have done for us so far. Yeah. And, you know, like, I know our podcast isn't all about like promoting stuff, but like, you guys do amazing work and it's such an important piece because people really do whatever you're building. Like, entrepreneurs are listening to this show, right? So it's not like we're talking a lot about the difference between employee mindset and entrepreneur mindset.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, honestly, like, you have to have a personal brand nowadays to compete in anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you doing, like, to stand out from your competitors, for prospects, all those. So
you could dunk on them like they're a neighborhood kid as long as you have the proper social media.
Absolutely.
You dunk on your competitors. You know, make sure that you're investing into your personal brands are going to continue to be the staple that determines whether an individual ends up rising to great or just as an average entrepreneur and just kind of getting by being self. There's a big difference between building something that has the ability to stand on its own 2 feet and being self-employed.
Yeah.
And I think individuals need to understand that in the next 2, 3, 4 years, the individuals that have awareness, those individuals, their businesses will show that they had the awareness and that they invested in the right areas, right? Like, when you start a business, sometimes it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years for things to unfold for you to see the result of the effort that you put in. And initially, when you start investing into a new area of your business that feels a little bit weird because you've never been on camera, you've never done this before, it does sometimes take 6, 12, 2, 3, 4 years, right? Whether, you know, for us, here we are 4 years in and it's paying off for us just because we started a podcast and because
that
we did four years ago. But like 4 years ago, we kind of thought we were a little bit crazy. Like, are we doing the right thing? You know, 6 months in, people ask, hey, do you guys have a podcast? Do you have, you know, like, wonderful things can happen when you're just taking the right action even if you don't fully see exactly where it's going to take you, right?
And the right people show up too. Like, we still don't know how to build a website or even edit our own videos.
Yeah.
Right? But like, somewhere along the way, we got Ethan and Austin, and then we got Nick and we got Luke, and like, now we got AK and Amber, and like, we don't have to know how to do everything, but we do got to be willing to like put ourselves out there, reach out, ask for some help. Hey, how do I build my personal brand? And like, that's what you guys do. So
invest in your business, invest in yourself. And that's what we focus on is building websites, building funnels, email marketing, follow-up systems, and also on the media side of things. So, taking this podcast, chopping it up and making it into some really epic content to put it out there into the Reels format or YouTube Shorts or TikTok, whatever your platform is, you can be repurposing it. And that's what we do is repurpose it on all the different platforms to get you out there and give you massive exposure. Yeah. So there's different avenues when it comes to branding yourself, putting yourself out there, building your audience presence. And it comes down to having, you might say, well, I don't need a website. Why would I need a website? You know, my Instagram is my where business I'm getting card.
Customer.
But you want to slow that scroll down. People are, looking at Instagram for 10 seconds at a time. Yeah. If they click on your link in bio and now all of a sudden it's you, it's your story, it's your brand, it's your, you're sharing.
In your world now, not the Instagram world.
They've slowed down automatically. And then there's the place for you to have your podcast, all your latest episodes there. There's your YouTube channel. There's, the product or the opportunity that you're selling. There's your business, the service, whatever it is, but you should be having that. And then there's the opportunity to follow up with them because they're getting added into your ecosystem. Are you giving them a freebie or a lead magnet or whatever that is? Mm. And now you're building your email system. So when Instagram, crashes or you get your account hacked or you lost your Facebook account, you need your email list. It's the vital piece of your business.
Yeah, it really
is. Go back and say, well, over the last few years, I built it up. I got a couple thousand people here. I'm good. And you can still maintain your business.
Well, that's what's weird is there was somebody that I think they're in our inner circle group that commented. They're like, "You guys are everywhere," and I was like, "It's just weird to hear that because it's like one, I don't feel like we're everywhere. I'm in St. George, Utah, and
because once you join the circle, you got to be on Facebook, and if you're not, you'll get a text message from your team.
When they're on Instagram, they see us. When they get on Facebook, that they see us, right? Yeah. So to them, it feels like we're everywhere. But like, since we're not making the posts anymore, we have somebody else posting it, and like, I don't see us everywhere, right? But at the exact same time, you talked about omnipresence, right? And really that's what omnipresence is for anybody that doesn't understand that is where when people log on to Facebook or when they log on to Instagram or TikTok, like you're there.
You're there, you're everywhere.
Right? Yeah. Like you are where they are regardless of where they're going. And that really is the definition of omnipresence, right? Yeah. And so when I heard somebody say, oh my gosh, you guys do such a good job. You guys are everywhere. I was like, huh. It's omnipresent.
We just built it.
Well, thank you, good sir.
We have established it.
Yeah. You don't even know what you just confirmed for us, but thank you. We're omnipresent. It's working, 4 years into it. How do people connect with you if they want to, figure out some more of,
or they want to get started on their personal brands and their funnels.
Yes. Figure out more of what that process kind of looks like to connect with you guys and
our
do some
social
work
media. We're AK Social House. So AK Social House is our main brand. We're launching AK Social Media, and that's just something that's very new. So right now it's AK Social House. My main personal account is The Social Savvy Mama. That was back in my network marketing days, and I haven't been able to leave it. So some people think I'm with Savvy, and I'm not with the Savvy brand, but The Social Savvy Mama is my personal. But AK Social House, our team is incredible, and what is really nice is that we don't outsource. So we are an in-house team in Orange County: graphic designers, web developers, content creators.
And what else is great is that you'll communicate with them regardless. We already heard the stories that you don't give yourself a pass.
We don't give ourselves a break.
What's happening is you're there for your people.
We are there. That's one thing we take pride in. And I think a lot of businesses, as they grow, that's what will differentiate you from success to just fast success and then you fail is really putting your heart and soul into every single thing that you do, whether your client's invested $10 or $10,000. Everybody is treated equally. You put everything into them and you make sure that they're happy. If you're getting testimonials at the end of the day from every single customer that you're working with, then you're doing a good job.
Yeah, and you guys are. You know, I'm super glad I met you guys.
It's been an honor, you know, working with you guys.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, it's like, for me, like when I meet people in the circles that I run around with, I already know their quality, right? And so when I meet you guys in the circles that we're doing with and see the work that you're doing with other people, it was a no-brainer. When I come home and tell Trev, I'm like, we got to work with AK and Amber and their team. So
yeah, Kel's like, yo, we got to spend some money with these people, thousands of dollars. I was like, who are these people?
You pay mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, okay, forego the mansion for now. You know, we're
hired AK.
Make us look omnipresent. And then somebody said it the other day. So
there you go, working. Right? Yeah. So we'll help you, you know, get your mastermind out there and all the amazing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I plan on doing, you know, more stuff with you guys just because you guys have shown up in a massive, massive way for us in the stuff that we've already done with you. And that's the cool thing about it is when you show up like that for people, you know, creates more opportunities for you, right? You guys are really, really good at the relationship game and, you know, making sure that you're there for the individuals that trust you with their business, with their money, and you guys provide results. And really, that's what it comes down to. So, you know, I've appreciated, you know, the time that we've got to spend with all you guys. But I say you guys, like...
He's in the corner. Yeah, he's
in the corner.
Him.
I swear to God, there's another person here, okay?
He's taking when all I the say content you guys, on the B-roll.
I'm like looking over at her husband and saying, you like, I guess it's more of a message to you. But both of you are amazing individuals. Yeah. And, you know, it's an honor to have you guys in our office.
Thanks
and
for bringing us
be
up
able to
Utah.
Share tacos with you guys today.
My husband
you know?
Ate half my tacos. I need more. So,
hey, that's how it works when you're married. You know, nothing's really truly
Trev, you
just
got him on
yours.
Speed dial, dude. Tell him to get back here for
bring that truck
tacos.
Back.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I mean, like they might still be parked out front.
Hey,
you know,
I've got two more.
Me and OG are friends. So me and St. George Taco Truck, we go way back.
There
so
we go.
I can make a call and get you a couple of tacos here like that. You know, so anywho, we appreciate you coming out. Yeah. You've been an absolute gem, and I look forward to continuing the relationship and continuing to do business with you guys for a long, long time. So
thank you so much for having me on the show.
AK, you should have been
ladies
on here
first.
Too,
you AK,
know? Ladies first.
Yeah, we'll make time for you later.
He'll be back. He's got a story to share.
He's fun too, guys. I swear to you. I promise. He's not hiding behind the camera because he's not fun. He's got another story he's going to share with us here soon. Some cool things unfolding for him. And so, guys, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it, rate it, review it, do all the other shit that every other podcast tells you to do, because that's all I do is just kind of copy what they say and, you know, hopefully something happens from it. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Keep kicking ass.